Thank you because your glory invades people's cars, invades people's homes, invades people's offices. Thank you because as many as come under the sound of my voice cannot escape the influence of your glory tonight in the name of Jesus. May the praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We're happy to be back in church. On Thursday like this. How many people are happy? How many people are still booting? You are still trying to get used to it. It feels strange. You know, that you're back. I know several people, I forgot, you know, but we'll get there. And many more people will get booted. Amen. And we'll start getting used to it once again. I terribly missed, the booster services. I missed them terribly. We stopped, you know, when the COVID restrictions came on. But then we were going to come back on, but we felt it was logistically challenging, you know, to start it off before now. So when we felt the coast was clear and the logistics will pick up on the logistics as we go on now, then we are back in here and I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm tired of my table and chair and I think they are probably tired of me. Amen. And I'm tired of pressing several buttons all over the place, you know, trying to record and checking the lighting, you know, and checking the, I'm tired of all of that. Hallelujah. Thank God for deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, open your Bibles with me. So I just go straight into God's word tonight. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to be teaching on different kinds of prayer. Basically, actually, tonight, what I'll do is I'll introduce the topic, and then we will go as led by God into a few more details, you know, as we move along in other services. But basically, I'm speaking, like I said, on different kinds of prayer. Can I hear you say different kinds of prayer? So that's to immediately tell you that prayer is not a uniform, how do you call it now? Amorphous, you know, activity. I hope that's the right English. You know, so it's not a singular activity. It's not just the fact that when we pray the same way all of the time. But the Bible makes it clear to us that there are different kinds of prayer. And we need to know the different kinds of prayer and know when they apply. Because sometimes people are praying the wrong type of prayer concerning things that they should have been praying another type of prayer. Like Kennedy Egan will say, he will say it's like you trying to play one particular sport with the rules of another sport. You know, so if, for instance, I play basketball, and if you were to try to play basketball with the rules of football, or if I'm trying to play football with the rules of basketball, I will automatically be the worst football player or soccer player that you have ever seen in all of your life. You know, because right away I can tell you, for instance, that in basketball, even when you are playing and you are bouncing, if the ball mistakenly touches your leg, it's a foul, you know, and you are going to be penalized for it. Whereas in soccer, you are meant to be using your leg, actually, and not your hand. You know, so it's completely different. So if you are to use the rule of one to try to play the other one, then you are going to be the worst player in that one. So the same way also, we need to understand that there are different kinds of prayer, and we need to know when they apply sometimes, but largely we'll need the Holy Ghost also to guide us. Amen. So I assume you are in Ephesians chapter 6. So Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to start just by reading one verse, and then later we're going to go back to read the context. But we're going to start with one verse, and that is verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'll read it again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the point is that in that scripture, actually what it says, praying always with all prayer A clearer, better way to put it is to say praying always with all kinds of prayer. Praying always with all kinds of prayer. So the expectation is that you and I will pray with all kinds of prayer. Our prayer life becomes enriched when we begin to function in all kinds of prayer. When we begin to pray the all kinds of prayer and not a singular type of prayer. I mean, for most believers, most people, most of us started off learning how to pray one or maybe just two types of prayer. Perhaps you learn to thank God for things. So when you are praying, you are taught you should pray, you know, just like the children will be taught, oh, thank God for the food you got. Thank God for the gift your mommy bought. Thank God for the shoes you were able to get. I mean, your parents got for you. Thank God that you passed your exam. So many of us learned that, for instance, that we need to pray what we will call the prayer of thanksgiving. But that is just one type of prayer. You know, the next type of prayer, perhaps more commonly used, is that people will pray what we call prayer of petition. You know, which is that prayer of bless me, my dog, me, myself, and I, us only and nobody else, in Jesus' name, and then you make the sign of the cross. You know, that is the prayer of give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. So you have something in mind, you are going to God, you are petitioning God, you want this, you want that, and that happens to many of us. That's what we know also. So apart from a prayer of thanksgiving, we tend to know about the prayer of petition. But the scripture says, pray with all kinds of prayer. So all kinds of prayer automatically implies that there are many different kinds of prayer. It means that there are more prayers or more prayer types than just two. Because if you say all kinds of prayer, if there were two, you'll probably say praying with both types of prayer. You know, but when it's more than that, it's when you would then be saying praying with all kinds of prayer. Those who begin to experience a rich prayer life, experience the best of God in terms of prayer, soon discover that there are many different kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. You know, they if you read quite a lot of historical books and all of that, you begin to see that people even prayed in many different ways. There was a revivalist by the name of Charles G. Finney. And he got to a city, he would go to places, there was a lot of prayer that underlined his ministry. Not just by himself, but even by prayer warriors that supported him, one of whom was a man by the name of Father Nash. You know, and Father Nash was a man who would go into places before Charles Diffini would come, sometimes 1 month before the man was to come to that city. Father Nash would go in alone or he would go in with a team. And they will lock themselves up and begin to pray. Let me say this, that one of the reasons why I'm talking about prayer, I think I said a bit of that, some time ago, and that's when we started the intercessory group that meets on Sunday mornings, is that we are increasingly getting to the time when, as a believer, your success, and really that's what the text here really talks about, where your success as a believer will depend on how much and how well you pray. Can I have an amen? Your success as a believer will depend on how much and how well you pray. You know, or let's simply put it as how effectively you pray. Prayerlessness will become a handicap to believers in this day and now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, because the scriptures even make it clear to us that God declared in Isaiah, for instance, chapter 45. I'm just taking a little detour at the moment. Is that okay? You know, God says in Isaiah 45, he said, ask me concerning things to come about my sons. Okay? And he says, concerning the works of my hand, you command me. Okay, and that begins to automatically imply two things, that God's ability to reveal things to you is going to be, how do I call it, it's going to be stirred, it's going to be opened, it's going to be made available in the place of prayer. He said, you have to ask me. He knows what he's going to do, but if you will get the revelation of those things, he says it will have to come in the place of prayer. You'll have to ask. He said, and concerning the works of my hand. So when people have said, whatever God will do, they are lying. Can I have an amen? It's nothing like whatever God will do. No, sir. What God will do oftentimes depends on somebody praying. There was an old theologian that said, I think, I'm not sure if that was John Wesley or who. And he said, it seems like God does nothing except a man first prays. It seems like God does nothing except a man first prays. So what God will do will largely depend on what we will pray. Can I have an amen? It depends on our ability to pray. So there will be a lot, and I suspect a lot more teachings along the line of prayer, because we will need to bet certain things in this day and hour that we live in. Not just for the world, not just for our nation, but also for our own lives. There are things that will not happen except that we pray. Can I have an amen? There are things that we will not see except that we get on our knees and begin to pray and bring them to birth. Somebody said, well, what scripture do you have for that? I'll tell you 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Man, I'm feeling like something is coming on me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. It's well-known scripture. The Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. He said, but these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. He said, for the things, who knows the things of a man except the Spirit of that man? Who knows the things of God but the Spirit of God? He said, now we have been given the Spirit of God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He said, and these things we declare. Hallelujah. These things we declare, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. Hallelujah. So we will need to declare those things. In the place of prayer, we'll need to declare them. The things that God has prepared for those who love him need to be declared. Can I have an amen? It's when we declare them that we give birth to them. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, once again. Ephesians chapter 6. So we're talking about the fact that we'll need an enriched prayer life in the day and age that we live in. We need to make it a project. If you must make it a project, if it has to be a specific project where you set targets for yourself, then so be it. Hallelujah. That you have to tell yourself that I need to do something about my prayer life. Hallelujah. I need to start working on this thing. I need to start creating a prayer habit. I need to start getting the expertise in the place of prayer, because once you learn how to pray, then what you have done is that you have learned how to make things happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 6, therefore, and if you will pray and pray and pray like we're saying, the more you pray, the more you discover actually that there are different kinds of prayer. Now, I took a detour, but I remember what I was saying. I was talking about Charles G. Finney. So not only would Father Nash and a team perhaps go forth before Charles G. Finney himself would pray and pray and pray. And at the time he got to a city and he said, look, this place is a very difficult place. You can never have revival in this place. People won't give their lives to Christ. They are just difficult people around here. And Charles G. Finney went and went off into the forest to pray. And he went into the forest because he says that oftentimes he likes to go away from where people were in order to pray. He said because he gets into certain dimensions of prayer that scare people if they were to be there with him. That there are certain dimensions of prayer, but when he's praying, he enters into and it can be scary to people around him. So he found himself praying and praying in this city. And along the line, he found himself saying to God, praying in the spirit, and he began to say to God, he said, God, you don't think that we will not have revival in this city, do you? It doesn't sound much like the kind of prayer that most of us know. It sounded like the man was beginning to command God, and he was saying to God, God, you don't think that we will not have revival, do you? He's not begging God anymore. He had reached a place where he had taken hold of revival with God, but he was convinced that come rain, come shine, there will be revival in that city. And there was. Hallelujah. So you'll have different kinds of prayer. The more you pray, the more you discover. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, I'll read you a few different versions. Okay? I'll read you the easy to read version, ERV. It said, pray in the spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers and ask for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. Hallelujah. Pray in the spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayer. I read you the God's Word translation. He says, pray in the spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer. You can hear kind. You can hear them saying kind. He said, use every kind of prayer and request there is. So there isn't one kind. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people. And lastly, I'll read you the Amplified Classic Edition version. And it says, pray at all times, at on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints. That is God's consecrated people. I like the fact that he says, pray with all manner of prayer. Hallelujah. There is all manner of prayer. There is prayer that you people will get into and you begin to wonder. In fact, Romans chapter 26, 8, 26 says that the Spirit bears with our infirmities, in that he helps us to pray with words, with groanings that cannot be uttered in words. So he's saying that there is even a dimension of praying where it is difficult to find the words, but they are just sounds that come forth. Deep from your spirit. All manner of prayer. The Bible says praying with all manner of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the key focus is that there are all kinds of prayers. That's the key focus. All kinds. And I'm reminded of a story, you know, by a certain physician. She wrote a story. She wrote a book. She had gotten healed miraculously herself many years ago. These are people that lived many, many years ago. And I mean, decades ago, you know, and by the name of Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans. So she wrote a book, Healing from Heaven. And eventually, actually, I'm just giving you a background. Is that okay? I'm giving you a background to some of these people just because sometimes it's good to know. You know, when you know that there are all kinds of people that have gone ahead of you. Hallelujah. And have proven the word of God to be true. Okay? Because my telling you about Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, it's not really anything that I could do without telling you that, but giving you a background to how normal people became supernormal. Hallelujah. How normal people, you know, that's all I'm saying. But I'm just telling a story that she told about somebody else. Okay? But she herself was a medical doctor who got very sick, was going to die, but discovered that there was healing in God's word, stood on God's word, and got healed. And then she began to have a healing home where they would bring people in, and usually she would accept that she just had a few rooms in that home. She would only accept a few people, of course, occupancy to occupy a house, you know, just to occupy the rooms. And her intention with her sister was that they should bring in terminally ill people who have been given up on by the doctors. And she will house them there. She will feed them on God's word and with prayer. And her intention was that nobody who comes in there will die. They will all go back out healed. Remember, she took in only cases that have been given up on by medical science. Hallelujah. So she told a story. She told a story about a missionary. And the missionary, you know, went off as a missionary to China. And while in China, this lady had smallpox. How many people know smallpox? You don't know smallpox. You heard of smallpox. Yeah, you shouldn't know smallpox. Yeah, you know. But it was much dreaded. It was a much dreaded disease. Most people die. You know, you get it, you die. It was that bad. And in fact, it's so dreaded. I tell people, but when I want to tell them how dreaded smallpox was, I say it was so dreaded that they turned it into a curse in Yoruba language. You know, so when they want to curse people, they say shopononiopo. And that means smallpox will kill you. You know. So it became such a serious cause, you know, that if they say you're going to pow, smallpox will kill you. That's a serious cause. You know, it means serious stuff is going to happen to you. So anyway, this missionary to China had smallpox and she was praying, of course, as she would. She was praying, waiting upon God, locked herself in, was praying and praying, seeking the face of God, of course, for her healing. Her whole body covered in rashes like smallpox will give you. And with fever and all of that. And she was locked up and praying and praying and seeking the face of God. And then one night God gave her a vision. And she saw two baskets, you know, two baskets hanging in the balance. One on one side, the other on the other side. And the balance, I mean, it was out of balance. One basket was very full and heavy. The other basket was light. And God showed her and said, the basket that's heavy is the basket of your tests and trials. He said, but the empty basket is your basket of thanksgiving. And God said, when your basket of thanksgiving becomes as full as your basket of test and trial, you will be healed. Hallelujah. So the lady began to give thanks to God, began to praise God for her healing, began to thank God for his good, for his endures forever. What was she doing? She was praying the prayer of thanksgiving. Are you still there? All kinds of prayers. So she began to give God thanks, began to give God thanks, began to give God thanks. And suddenly one day God showed her that the basket of thanksgiving was full and she was healed. All rashes cleared off. Hallelujah. One of the clear things that you will see, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6 once again, one of the clear things you will see immediately is that you pray. It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me say this, that prayer will not be and cannot be effective except in the Spirit. So when we're beginning to talk about all kinds of prayer, there is also an underlying aspect of you being submissive to the Holy Ghost in order to show you what you need to be praying. Hallelujah. In order to show you how you need to be praying. In order to show you the direction your prayer ought to be headed. Are you still with me? Yeah, you know, because very often people go into the place of prayer with the mindset that they know what they need and they know how to pray what they need. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, we go into the place of prayer that, yes, now, I need money. I need money for this thing. I need money so that I can buy that thing. No, sir. God may be directing you not to pray for money, but to pray for the right person that needs in order to introduce you to a new business, hallelujah, that brings you all of the money that you need. Or God is just trying to pray you so that you pray for direction in life. So that as your steps are directed, you are actually going to meet somebody who has the very thing you are trying to buy, but who is trying to give it away because he doesn't need it. But doesn't know who to give it to. Are you I'm talking about anybody? Are you there? Look at 8, for instance. Romans chapter 8, and we'll come back. So realize now that it says what? Praying with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the ability to go and pray the all kinds of prayer, just like the lady was directed to start praying the prayer of thanksgiving, and God said, what you need now is a prayer of thanksgiving, was an inspiration by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, are you there? And then we'll come back very quickly to where we were. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says what? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Did you get that first? The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What are they? He said, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's all I want you to see there right now. Are you with me? He says, for what we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. The word ought simply means as we should. We don't know what we should be praying for as we think we know, but we... Are you still there? We don't know. I prayed many times and I'm praying something and God says, no, you need to switch. This is what you need to be praying. We think that, the Spirit helps our weakness. What is our weakness? We do not know what we should pray for as we should. So whenever we are praying, we should always be attentive to the Holy Ghost in order to direct our prayer. And as we become attentive, we will discover that He takes us to a place of different kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you getting something tonight? So, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Because when we started off, I actually read just verse 18. These days, that is something that's becoming more and more difficult for me to do. That it's becoming more and more difficult for me to take a scripture out of context and begin to teach on it. Even if I know that there's an emphasis, like my emphasis in this series, as it were, is different kinds of prayer, and that emphasis is the basis for it is verse 18. I'm finding more and more difficult to just go and read that one verse because that one verse sits in a context of scriptures that are important for us to totally get the weight of what it is saying in verse 18. Are you still there? So we'll go back, and that means that's also a principle of Bible interpretation. That when you see something, always think about context. What was he talking about? Why did he bring this up? You know, what was the situation? What were the other things he was saying around it that then brought this up? Okay? That will give you a lot of revelation. It will help enlighten and shine the light further on that particular thing that he's telling us. So, verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and haven't done all to stand. Okay? So first, let me explain that little bit of it, or give you a summary of that little bit of it. He's saying, look, ladies and gentlemen, you will need to be strong in God's own mighty power and might, and you need the armor of God to be able to withstand what you are up against. He was trying to say that, look, your strength and your ability to survive will have little or nothing to do with your natural wisdom or strength. Are you still there? It's going to be about how strong you can become in God. Amen. It means that the weakest and most unlikely people will survive certain things, but the most expected to survive them will not survive them. Why? Because that unlikely person was strong in the Lord, depended on God, while the other person thought, I know how to handle it. Are you still with me? Okay, so verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So now he begins to break down what is that armor of God you need to put on. Okay, and he's using the example of what the Roman soldiers would wear in those days that they lived in. So he was using their outfit to begin to describe the different things. Okay, so he says, having shod, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of a wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, see where this now comes in. It says what? Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So where does it come in? He's saying that prayer is part of the weaponry. Hallelujah. Let me rewind a little bit, because he told us something at the beginning in verse 11, I believe it was. He told us something very important. He said, you should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. That is important. The word wiles means tricks of the wicked one. It means that you are dealing with an enemy that is very tricky, with an enemy that is very slippery, with an enemy that is very cunning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he's saying what? That you will need prayer in order to be able to stand against the tricks of the wicked one. Are you still there? Immediately, I look at that. I mean, two scriptures come to mind. Because if you're trying to trick somebody, it means that that person has to be able to see beyond what you present. Am I right? It means the person has to be able to see beyond what you are trying to show them. The person can see the real you. The person can see where this is going. The person can see what you are setting up for them. Amen. And one of those scriptures is Matthew chapter 26. Are you with me? Matthew 26 and verse 41. Open there. Matthew 26. This is a booster service, a teaching service. It's a teaching service. So it means that the devil doesn't come plainly. It means that when the devil is at work, it's not always plain what he's presenting to you. There are things he will bring your way that don't look what they really are. Are you still there? You know, so for instance, there are guys he's going to bring. Somebody was speaking to me today and said, you know, this thing about marriage and all of that. You know, there are people who even go to church to pretend. They pretend so that they can get somebody to marry them. And then after they marry, you will be in shock. You would almost not believe that it's the same person that you knew before then, you know. So that's a trick, for instance, you know. And when the devil sets tricks for you, there are jobs that are tricks. Are you with me? So there are jobs that people have taken on that are nothing but tricks. People have resigned on certain jobs because another job made them an offer that looked very good. You know what they taught us in primary school? They said, all that glitters is not gold. But who is going to tell me? You get what I'm talking about? Who is going to tell me? It's almost like trying to get a house in Lagos. And I remember when I first moved to Lagos, you know, you go look for a house, that's all. And one day somebody told me something I never forgot. He said, if you are going to get a house in Lagos to rent, he said, don't go there during the dry season. He said, if you are going to go, make sure it's the rainy season that you go to check the house that you want to take. He said, because you will go there in dry season, everything looks fine. He said, but if you go there in the rainy season, there may be almost no road, not to talk of a house. That you discover suddenly that you need a boat to live in that place. And that even inside the house, you will discover that the water gets almost to the first floor level when it begins to rain heavily. He said, so only go. So so there are many tricks. Hallelujah. That we can fall for. But thank God for prayer. And have an amen. Thank God for prayer. I've had God speak to me in prayer and say, be careful with that person. Don't be close to that person. I've had God give me warnings. Be careful. Be careful with that one. You know. Oh, don't go there. I've had God tell me, don't go. Don't go. Oh yeah, you wanted to go there, don't go. Amen. And I've had situations where I've actually dressed up to go somewhere, and I've had God say, don't go. And I went right back and I undressed and changed my clothes again and stayed. Hallelujah. Somebody say, why did he tell you that? I don't know. But guess what? I didn't want to find out. Are you with me? I didn't want to find out. It's better not to find out. Amen. If he says don't go, better not to find out. Better not to have gone. Hallelujah. Matthew 26:41. Have you found that? Okay. So it says watch and pray. What I want you to take note of is the word watch. It said watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what I want you to see is that he says watch and pray. It means that there is something about prayer that allows you to watch. Hallelujah. There's something about prayer that gives you insight into what is going on, that helps you to see things the way they really are. Have you ever been praying before and suddenly it occurred to you that something was not really what you thought it was, but it was something else? Are you still there? That suddenly you saw a perspective of it in a place of prayer that you did not see before. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 says something similar. He said, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be watchful in your prayers. Be watchful in your prayers. That's the NKJV version. It says, be watchful in your prayer. So there's something about prayer. Remember, we're talking about the fact that put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the tricks, Ephesians 6:11, against the tricks of the evil one. And we said, one of the reasons why the different kinds of prayer are important is that they help you to watch in the place of prayer. But you see, this Ephesians 6:18, that's our main text, is situated in the middle of warfare, or thoughts and instructions about warfare. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that prayer also helps me to combat the things that I'm faced with. Hallelujah. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 begins to tell us, it says, though we are in the world, we do not war. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we don't just fight according to the flesh. Hallelujah. So though you may see somebody standing and you are insulting him, you are slapping him, he's not doing anything, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. That's not the way we fight our wars. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we fight, but we fight differently. Hallelujah. Prayer helps us to fight differently. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let me begin to try to wrap it up. Okay? It's the first booster service here so that people are just starting to get used to it. Amen. Actually, I used to, you know, maybe the study was also okay because I used to time myself. You know, when I taught from the study, I used to time myself to try to speak for 45 minutes. You know, so I used to make sure that I didn't exceed 45 minutes. I was quite conscious, very nice of me, of your data. Amen. That I didn't want people to struggle with that and all of that. Okay. So maybe that habit will go with me. I don't know, but I doubt it. Hallelujah. Okay. So there are three key things. If you look at that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, there are three key things that it tells us. Okay. Maybe I'll ask you again to open there. So we've been talking about different kinds of prayer. And our main text has been Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Okay? And that text is put in the middle of how we are able to stand against the tricks of the enemy. And I'm saying that if you will have an enriched prayer life, you will also have to have or also begin to explore by the Spirit different kinds of prayer. You'll have to understand that there are different kinds of prayer. You'll have to understand that the different kinds of prayer apply differently in different situations. Amen. You'll have to understand that they are guided by different rules. There's a different way to pray them. Okay, we've had people who want to pray for somebody who is sick. And then when they go there, they go and they say, well, Father, heal this person if it is your will. Otio. That is a wrong prayer for that situation. Are you still there? Because what they are praying right there and right then is what we will call the prayer of consecration, which is the prayer where you usually say, if it be your will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What they ought to be praying, we know the will of God is healing. Hallelujah. So for that one, we don't pray if it be your will, because we know the will of God. Amen. We pray the prayer of consecration as if it be your will, because we don't know that will. All we are saying is, Lord, we submit to your will, whatever it is. Hallelujah. So praying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, there are three things. It says, praying with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. So number one thing, okay? And you find that these three things, that it's basically says to us in Ephesians 6:18, are impossible to do, really. Except you are praying all kinds of prayer. Except you are praying the different kinds of prayer. It says praying always. So number one, it says praying always. We need to get to the place where we take our prayer life beyond our quiet time. Did you hear what I said? We need to get to the place where our prayer life goes beyond our quiet time. What do I mean? Many people would pray and they have their quiet time in the morning, 5 to 5:30, 6 to 6:30, 5 to 6, 4 to 5, whatever that prayer time might be. But after that prayer time, they do not pray again throughout the day until the next morning at 4 to 5 again. When he says praying always, it means that it's going to go beyond that quiet time in the morning of 4 to 5 or 5 to 5:30. I don't know if you have checked in your dictionary what always means. Are you there? But if you check it in the Greek, always means what? One, it means always. Two, it means always. Hallelujah. It means all of the time. Can I have an amen? It means that our prayer needs to go beyond. That's what it's telling us in Ephesians chapter 6. Our prayer needs to go beyond our quiet time. And there's no way. But when you get to that place and you are taking your prayer beyond your quiet time, you will be praying just the same kind of prayer. Maybe the prayer of petition all day, all night. No. You will have to step into that place of praying different kinds of prayer. Because somewhere along the line, you'll get to something or something will happen, you'll have to pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Can I have an amen? Somewhere along the line, God is going to bring people to your mind and you'll have to pray the prayer of intercession or supplication on their behalf. I've learned that when God brings people to my mind unexpectedly, I should spend a moment to pray for them. Amen. I've learned to pray for them and then I check on them. I send a message, I make a call or whatever. I just say hello. I'm just saying hello to you. I'm just checking you. Or whatever. And sometimes, even when I had failed to do it, some of them call me within a few minutes of their coming to mind. And when that happens, I laugh. Because if they had an issue to discuss with me, the moment they call me, I start laughing within me. Because I know that God already knew about that issue. That's why he prompted me about them and brought them to my mind. And so I know that the answer to whatever it is they are dealing with, I already exist. And we will find it. Hallelujah. So your prayer will have to go beyond that your quiet time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, the scripture tells us something. It says what? Pray without ceasing. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a Bible study, so you should look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and see what that says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I'm closing and I'm just saying to you, you know, because I remember Kennedy again is the one who says, I'm fixing to close. And then they said, what does it mean when you say you are fixing to close? I can't say it exactly as he says it, but he says something like, it means I'm beginning to consider to begin to start to close. Amen. Hallelujah. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, are you there? I'm fixing to close now. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible says what? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Actually, that around those scriptures, the verses around it are those straight sharp instructions that he gives to believers. And verse 17 is one of such instructions and it says what? Pray without ceasing. The season there is not a matan season and rainy season. It's not winter and summer and spring and autumn. No. It says pray without ceasing. The word season there is C-E-A-S-I-N-G. If you have your Bible open, which means what? Pray without stopping. Your prayer life ought to be without a stop. Hallelujah. It ought to be round the clock. Can I have an amen? It's called fellowship with God. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So we want to come to the place where we pray round the clock. And I made up my mind long ago that I was going to be praying round the clock. I was going to be praying and praying and praying and praying round the clock. You know, many times you know what stops people from praying? that much, especially when they are not in private. You know, don't quote Ephesians chapter 6 to me that when you want to pray, you should go into your closet and lock yourself up. There's no way you're going to lock yourself up to fulfill 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Am I right? There's no way you're going to do that. That you're going to be locked up forever. It means you'll never walk, you'll never cook, you'll never eat, you'll never do anything. You don't even have a bath. Because you have to be locked up in your closet where nobody can find you in order to pray. But it says pray without ceasing. So the only way to fulfill that means that there must be a way to be praying even as I go about my day-to-day business. There must be a way to be praying all through. And I've learned that one of the best ways to do that is I'm praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. As I go around, I'm praying. I'm praying all of the time. I'm praying as I'm cooking. I'm praying as I'm having a bath. I'm praying as I'm driving. Hallelujah. You know, at the point my wife was so upset with me because she was sitting in the car and I just put on and I'm just praying. I'm not even talking to anybody in the car. That's bad, really. That's bad. That's over spirit. Amen. So that's bad. So I've learned to start tempering some of that one. Amen. Hallelujah. So help me God across my heart. Hallelujah. You know, but that's not right. You know, but I've learned actually what I do now most of the time when I'm praying, I'm listening to a message. You know, so I've learned now to just, when other people are with me, I play music. You know, I play music so that I'm a bit more relaxed and all of that. And if we're traveling and they all, you know the way they all fall asleep and leave the driver alone. You know, all the women know what I'm talking about. You know, so the moment they just do like this and they close their eyes, I just switch. I change it. I put off the music. I put in a message and I start praying. Hallelujah. You know, and one day, many years ago, I was in university. I was going out with a friend and in his car. And as we were going, I was just praying. I told you, I made up my mind. I want to pray. I want to do what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says, pray without stopping. And I was just praying. And I remember somebody stopped us on the road who happened to be his friend. And the guy saw him and flagged down the car and they started greeting. So the guy made a comment. He said, you know, what struck him was that as he was walking by, he saw the car, you know, a car driving by. But he saw that the person sitting at the back, I think there was a driver driving. I was at the back. He was in front. He just saw that the person sitting at the back was, his mouth was moving like he was praying. He said, and that's what he was looking at, like, this person is praying. He said that's when he realized that it was his friend that was sitting in front and he stopped the car to greet his friend. Are you there? I'm saying that most of the time it's because we are also ashamed. We are shy, we call it. Amen. That's why we can't do some of those things. But you can do it just under your breath, as we call it. You can just keep praying under your breath. Keep praying under your breath. Sensitive people might know that you're praying, hallelujah, but it won't be very easy. You are not loud, you are not, you know, it won't be very easy, and you'll get used to it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, there's somebody else, I don't know whether he spotted me, I was taking a walk, I was in Ibadan, and in the morning, Saturday morning, I took a walk, and as I took the walk, I was praying, and I'd gone a long distance, prayed, and I was returning back to the guest house where I was staying, but I was just praying and praying. And then this car just stopped. I mean, right in front of me, I had not even looked at. He didn't see. I wasn't looking at anybody, you know. And when the car stopped, this guy greeted me before I looked in the car. Ah, why are you blah? And it occurred to me that one of the things that might have caught his attention, I didn't ask, I don't know, was that maybe he saw somebody and thought, this person looks like he's praying. And he took a look because he's a brother, took a look. And then, I know him now, you know, and then decided to stop to greet me. Hallelujah. But I'm saying to you that Ephesians 6, verse 18 gives three critical instructions, all of which are impossible to fulfill adequately except you are praying all kinds of prayer. Amen. There's no way you pray always and be praying the same kind of prayer. You'll find yourself praying intercession, praying thanksgiving, praying in tongues, praying all kinds of things at different times. Hallelujah. Number two, it says praying always with all kinds of prayer with all perseverance. So he's saying to us again that there are times you need to have extensive periods where you need to go into place of prayer over something for extensive periods of time. You know, for stretches of time, you are praying about something. You are praying about something. You know, you persevere in the place of prayer. You are spending time to pray for people in the place of prayer. Spending time to pray for the nation in the place of prayer. You persevere. You stay there until the matter is resolved. And you'll find out that as you persevere in prayer also, you might find yourself going into different realms of prayer and praying different kinds of prayer. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said that men ought always, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, He told them a parable to say to them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you get into the place of perseverance, perseverance means endurance, where you just endure and you stay in the place of prayer, you will find that you will pray all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. Lastly, but not least, number three, it says, watching in the same, with supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. There's no way you're going to be spending time praying for all the saints, that you will not be praying different kinds of prayer. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we ought to pray for all men. We ought to pray for all men. We ought to pray for all men. That is the will of God. And there's no way you're going to be spending time praying for people and praying for people. Listen, we need to get to the place where we are praying for other people other than ourselves. Can I have an amen? Where we're praying beyond our own needs, but where we begin to pray for other people. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm in a bit of a hurry now, as you can tell, but 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, from verses 1 to 4, tells us that if you are not praying for other people, you may not have peace. Are you there? He says you should pray for all men, for those who are in authority and all that, that you may live a peaceable life. It means that your peaceable life also sometimes depends on your ability to pray for other people, pray and intercede for other people, all men, including those in authority. I think that's pretty clear enough, that when the people in authority are making wrong decisions, it takes peace away from you. But it's not just the people in authority. He said, pray for all men. There are other people who are not government officials and all that, who are in your life, that you ought to be praying for them so that you can have peace. Can I have an amen? Spouses ought to be praying for each other. Can I have an amen? Pray every day for your husband. Pray every day for your wife, or pray regularly. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray for your children so you can have peace. Can I have an amen? Pray for the people. Pray for your boss. Can I have an amen? So that you can have peace. Sometimes that peace is elusive because you are not doing what you should be doing. Are you still there? Sometimes I was praying for somebody, and then it just came to me, familiar spirit. I began to rebuke a familiar spirit. All kinds of prayer. I'm just telling you, you pray all kinds of prayer. Sometimes also I was praying for someone and who had been depressed and all of that. Some years ago, and I was praying, and one day I got to the place where I just felt, give a faith command and command that spirit to let go. So I commanded the spirit. I was in my house. Commanded the spirit. That spirit of depression, I command you to let her go. In the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, she showed up in school. The person that stopped going to classes and all that. All of a sudden, she showed up. And she says, just about that day, she doesn't know what it was, but something snapped. And she was okay. Praying with all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. Watching with perseverance, daring for all the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been speaking about different kinds of prayer and the fact that we need to pray different kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer in existence. And when we begin to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost in the place of prayer, we'll find that He begins to push us in different directions, and we're praying different kinds of prayer, and that if we're going to be effective in our prayer life, then we will have to get to that place where we are praying all of the different kinds of prayer as directed by the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Just begin to give Him thanks for His word tonight. If you got anything, thank Him for what you got. And you need to make decisions, make them now. One clear decision you need to make is to tell God that, God, I am going to pray. I'm going to exercise myself more in the place of prayer. Help me to explore by the Holy Ghost prayer more than I've ever done. Show me. Help me to learn the different types of prayer and how they function. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise for your word. We thank you. Thank you because that word is like a seed. It's been planted. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let people have sleepless nights. Let the spirit of prayer descend upon them. Let them pray like they've never done before. And begin to teach us in a place of prayer how to pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because even now, under the sound of my voice, every affliction, every burden, every yoke destroyed, removed in the name of Jesus. The praise and the glory be given to you and you alone. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.